Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome inside hour three of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh, yes, sir.
If you've missed any of Gonzaga and UCLA, you haven't really missed anything. Gonzaga got out big. They had a 12-2 lead, and they've kind of maintained that. Three minutes to go, and they still have a 19-point lead over the Bruins, 76-57. It has just been an ass-kicking for the Zags from the beginning, and they make UCLA look like some, you know, Power 5, middle-of-the-pack team. Like, you know, we're a North Carolina State, or we're, you know, hey, oh, yeah, Gonzaga. That was a nice little early season test. Nah, UCLA's number two in the country. They've had a great start to the year. They have all their players back from their Final Four team a year ago. They're better. They're everything, and they don't even look like they belong on the same court as Gonzaga. Boy, this is fun. Fun stuff right now to see a dominant team. I mean, not fun for UCLA, but fun for college basketball to go, okay, this is the team we're going to pay attention to all season long. Yes, we knew they were number one. Were they as good as they were last year? That question's been answered.
Well, what's great is we get another shot at them this weekend when they play Duke. That's part of the promos and being promoted very heavily tonight, given where this game is with 3:19 remaining in the second half and that 19-point lead still there. That you go in and sell. So we've got two great tales for sports talk, radio, and television that come out of this. Is for Gonzaga, like you said, we're going to have the chase, and you start building the brand, and we talk about Chet Holmgren, and we're going to be able to build the legend of Chet Holmgren. Yeah, we know who Timmy is, and he's fine. He's got his 6 of 12, 18 and 8. That's fantastic. But we're looking at Holmgren. It's like, well, here's something a little different. Now here's something you'll really like, but something a little bit different. As for UCLA, it's the, all right, we got punched in the mouth. How do we respond? Now, they don't have another one of these marquee games, you know, against a top opponent on the schedule here for a bit. But here was a good test. You know what? You failed. And you failed on national television, which means, all right, you're going to go back to work because it's a thing that, as a coaching staff, look, I always say if I'm going to lose, like, I want my guys to compete, but if we're going to lose and then we're going to show that there is a gap that we need or a fire that we need to reignite, this is the type of game that's going to do that, right? 5-point, 7-point loss, any flaws might be able to be covered up because, like, all right, we were competitive the whole game. Here, you got punched. So for 40 minutes of game review, you have to go back. But you have to go back and through and watch every possession, every shot selection. And they'll do it, and you know they will, with a fine-tooth comb. And those errors, let's just call it what it is. What we know from this coaching staff, they will not go unnoticed or not pointed out in film review with each and every one of the players on this roster. So yeah, sometimes you got to have that learning experience earlier. And when you've had success and knowing that just showing back up because you had success last year, that doesn't translate. How many times we talk about that in the NBA, we talk about it in the NFL, everything we talk about on the programs. Like, you can't assume just because you were good last year that that's going to translate. Yeah, you can beat some average teams, maybe some above average, but you've got to come with everything and can't have the shooting woes that you had tonight. 32.3% as we come to down towards 2 minutes in this game, 2 of 12 from three-point range. They've only attempted, I think, 3 three-pointers in the second half. Got to the free throw line a lot, right? All of a sudden 13 of 18 and totally switched that up to try to slow it down and get inside, but to no avail. Still getting boat raced.
And just really quick, because this may be a hot take before we get into the college football playoff.
Yeah, I love it. Let's go.
Chet Holmgren, look, this guy could be the number one pick in the draft. He's that good. He's got a unique skill set. You just watch him run the floor once, you go, oh my God, this kid really can do it at 7 feet. But here's a big thing, is that number one, not many famous people named Chet. I would say Chet Atkins is probably the most famous Chet ever.
And virtuoso.
Probably the next most famous Chet is Chet Lemon.
legend of the White Sox.
I mean, really, right?
I mean, he had that great collar on that uniform.
Oh, yeah. That was. I like the collars on the uniform. That was pretty good.
No, they did a replica of those a couple of years ago. They were sized terribly.
Nothing says we're playing in the cold weather in an exhibition game in February than wearing a jersey with collars on it.
All right, we got Chet Baker. So music really kind of the great Chet 40, of course.
Oh, there was Chet 40. That's true, the Chet 40. Yep. We got Atkins, Baker, Lemon, and 40. Okay, all right, very good.
There's got to be somebody else. I mean, it's
tough, man. Look,
that is
tough.
Very short list.
It's tough. It's Chet. There's not many of those names. I'm telling you, man.
Well, he can become a legend that much faster. He's top five already.
Exactly. He's already. He walks into the game in the top five. I mean, that's you talk about being be able to succeed. You're walking in the top five. It's terrific. That's you doing. Your name is Chet. From college basketball to college football, we go now for a little bit. We got Rick Bucher coming up in about 15 minutes with us. The latest college football playoff rankings are out, and Cincinnati is now in the top four. Can we have some congratulatory music for Cincinnati making the top four, T-shirt? Can we have that? Ah, here you go. Let it wash over you. Congratulations to Cincinnati. Wondered if I could make the playoff. They put us number four ahead of Michigan. Now we just gotta hope that all those other teams lose.
I really thought turkeys could fly.
Hey, Les, who's that golfer, the famous golfer, Chai Rodriguez? Yes, Chai. Cincinnati sneaks into the top four behind Georgia, Ohio State, who jumps up to number two. Alabama falls to three. Right behind Cincinnati, Michigan, Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, and Baylor. They round out the top eight. So now this has become the question for the college football playoff. Can you take a non-Power 5 team in the playoff? We haven't seen it. Are we going to see? Well, Notre Dame obviously is an independent, but Notre Dame is Notre Dame. This is a, you know, and they play a Power 5 schedule. This is a non-Power 5 team that has played all of one game against a good team, Notre Dame, and that's what the committee keeps saying. Boy, they played great against Notre Dame. What about struggling against Navy, who stink? You know, what about Tulsa? What about all these games? They don't look that good. And no, doesn't matter. But now the path is clear for how Cincinnati can make the college football playoff and chaos can reign, because it's pretty simple. They need two things to have. One of these two things needs to happen. And as long as things go according to what the likely outcome is, this is what's going to happen. Like, for instance, could whoever wins the Big Ten, the game this weekend between Ohio State and Michigan, lose the Big Ten championship game and wind up on the outside looking in? Yeah, but that's probably not likely. If Ohio State or Michigan wins, probably Ohio State this week. Ohio State will win the Big Ten. They'll make it into the college football playoff. So as long as what's likely going to happen happens, this is what Cincinnati needs. One of these two things to happen. They need either Alabama to lose to Georgia in the SEC championship game. If that happens, Cincinnati can probably write their ticket in, because you're not going to take a two-loss Alabama team over an undefeated Cincinnati, not a team that's lost to Georgia already two times on the season. They need that to happen. Or they need the Big 12 champion to have two losses. And that could happen, because with this week's week, you got Bedlam this week with Oklahoma State. Between the two of them and Baylor, they're going to play for the Big 12 championship. And clearly, there's a possibility that the team that wins it could have two losses. And a two-loss Big 12 champion is not getting in over Cincinnati. So as long as one of those things happens, Alabama loses to Georgia in the SEC title game, or the Big 12 champ has two losses, Cincinnati can make it in. But if those things don't happen, guess what? Cincinnati's not making it, right? Because if Alabama beats Georgia, that's bad news for them, because both Alabama and Georgia are going to make the playoff, right? Both one-loss teams. Georgia's not going to fall out of 1-4. Alabama's going to make it. The winner of Ohio State, Michigan this weekend, who wins the Big Ten, they're going to make it. So you're talking about that last spot between Cincinnati and the winner of the Big 12. If Oklahoma comes out of the Big 12 with one loss, guess what? Oklahoma's going to the college football playoff. No one loss Power 5 team is going to be left out over an undefeated Cincinnati, because by the end of the year, they're going to say, boy, Cincinnati's got that win over Notre Dame, but boy, they got nothing to compare to Oklahoma beating Oklahoma State and then beating Baylor, or they, you know, no one's going to have, they're not going to have a win like that. So they'll get passed by that one loss Big 12 champ. But if one of those two things happens, Cincinnati will get in. But if you're talking about one loss teams from Power 5 conferences, an undefeated Cincinnati is not getting in over them. That's just how it's going to go. We see that at the end of every year. You want to be a non-Power 5 team to get in, you need other teams to sit there with two losses while you have none. That's Cincinnati's way in.
You know what? Just like that fan who speared Seth Rollins yesterday on WWE Monday Night Raw, Notre Dame and Brian Kelly are sitting like that fan ready to spear you to the ground, Smith, with that analysis. Why? Because Notre Dame is hanging around. And you say, yes, but they lost to Cincinnati. And the committee went out of their way to talk about how great a win that is. That's good theater for today. Right, that is building your television program to say, look, we listen to you. We listen to your feedback, right? You always fill out forums of, hey, we would really love for you to go and communicate the good, the bad, the ugly that you had with your experience. I was going back and forth with the good folks at Universal Orlando earlier today. More on that in ramblings on my social media platforms. But when we go through the process, that you may respond and you may get change in the moment. Here's the problem. Notre Dame sitting there at one loss, sitting at number six. That's nice and tasty. They take care of business against Stanford, and all of a sudden, chaos theories reign, right? You get your scenario where Alabama gets out, and all of a sudden, there's a spot up for grabs. I think you could see a thing, or even if they don't, I still think that you could see Notre Dame enter this picture and really cause problems for Cincinnati, even though they won. Remember, they always ranked Michigan ahead of Michigan State, even when Michigan State had beaten them. Sorry, buddy. I'm raining on your parade and telling you what plays?
Have
DiBiase running around with a giant pile of cash.
I get
Vince
it, but
McMahon
you can't
doing his walk all the way through. That's what Notre Dame is in this scenario.
You can't prop up Cincinnati and say their win over Notre Dame
sure
is so good.
We've
and
had
then
2 weeks.
No,
absolutely,
no way.
You can.
No way. No way.
Who's
no
going to complain? Cincinnati?
No,
the
no
rest
way
of the football-loving world is going to be like, Notre Dame is in. Why? Because we either love or hate Notre Dame. We don't care about Cincinnati.
There's no way. Not after going to this, say, oh, Cincinnati's so good.
And then in 2 weeks, when everything happens, it goes, hey, you know what? Sorry, Cincinnati, you're out.
Well, look, if there's a case where they both make it, yeah, okay, I could see them both making it. That would be some kind of disrespect, and I don't know that they could do that. I mean, I'd love to see it because it would be all kinds of chaos, but man, that's difficult. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up next, are the Lakers really rebounding or do they slide back into mediocrity? Are the Knicks really good? Yes, they are. Are the Warriors going to get better with Klay Thompson?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
True.
Marquee game of the night in the NBA, the Knicks take care of business over the LeBron-less Lakers. Serving notice that, yes, we are the team to beat as they improve to 18-2.
Ten and eight
on the season. Joining us now on the hotline, a man who posed the question, did the LeBron-Stewart incident light a fire under Anthony Davis and the Lakers? It is Fox Sports 1 NBA insider extraordinaire. You can follow him on Twitter, at Rick Bucher. That is at Rick Bucher. Rick, what's happening, man?
Asked and answered, and actually answered before we saw the performance of Anthony Davis against the Knicks tonight. But I have to start off by asking, who did you make a deal with? Because we generally, you know, we show our gratitude for Thanksgiving. You're going to have to double down on that, my friend. In fact, when they ask, what are you grateful for? I'm good. I got the Knicks versus the Lakers, and I said, you know what? Take away Derrick Rose. Take away Taj Gibson. Let me beat the Lakers without two of our better players. And indeed, you got that. You got the beatdown of the Lakers. I just want to know how you set this up, because who's having a better week than you as of right now? Give that boy double serving of mashed potatoes. Indeed.
Well, the cost, Rick, is my immortal soul. I said, give me 2 weeks of Knicks, yo. And the devil said, okay. So there we go.
Yeah. By the way, your Knicks, what a horrendous looking team. It's a reflection of how bad the Lakers are. My goodness gracious. I think Tom Thibodeau has just said, look, let's face it. In fact, I wish somebody would ask him at the post-game press conferences, and he would just fess up and go, look, I don't know anything about offense, so we've just abandoned it, okay? I let them do whatever they want, okay? And, you know, we'll see where it goes. But I'm tired of coming up with plans that clearly don't work. So you know what? I'm just gonna focus on the end that I'm ecking at. And yes, we are 17th and at two, but hey, there's nowhere to go but up. But my goodness, what was that? What the hell was that?
Hey, winning ugly.
We are living off of Julius Randle drifting mid-range jumpers to create our offense. That was unbelievable. And the fact that the Lakers could not do anything to avoid a defeat in spite of all that, it is, man. You know, I personally was hoping. It was the Detroit Pistons, worst offense in the league. It's a team that they should have beat. I didn't buy the narrative that this was going to be some launch point for them to play different, and they showed us right from the first quarter, yep, nope, we're the same. But I was hoping, because, look, it's more interesting if the Lakers are good, right? Or at least they're competitive. With all those big names, do you want them in the mix? And I just don't see a way in which that is going to happen. It's a mess. That was one ugly game, and yet the Knicks found a way to get it done.
Well, and this is the worst of it, though, Rick, is that not only are they not good, they're not awful, sitting at 9-10. So, narrative's sake, you either want it to burn or you want them to rise. I was going just from a logistics standpoint of how does the NBA not say, hey, there's a review on LeBron James so he gets to play at the Garden and miss the game against Indiana?
The other part of it is, honestly, we can go back and forth on whether there was intent on that or not. But
sure.
Considering that he was ejected from that game in an instance where the contact occurred in a way that contact often occurs, it doesn't end up with an elbow upside the head. But that kind of wrestling on the lane line during a free throw or positioning for a rebound, I mean, that happens all the time. So I'm a little surprised that they added a game to the suspension, or suspended him for a game on top of ejecting him from that particular game. But, you know, hey, the fact of the matter is it's Thanksgiving week, and if I'm a Knicks fan, I'm like, I'll pass on seeing LeBron in Madison Square Garden, even though I don't know that it would have made a big difference. And I'll take the win winning ugly.
Now, I'm going to say something, Rick, about the Lakers, and you give me agree or disagree on it, okay? Because this is, here they are sitting at 9-10. The narrative of the team has flipped. For a while, it was, let's see how long it takes until they get their pieces together and see how it gels. And now, clearly, just watching them play, you can tell it's not come to that point. And now the narrative is, how long do the Lakers let this go until they start making big changes so they don't waste another year of LeBron not knowing how much he has left?
Well, but this is the difficulty in giving a king's ransom for Russ Westbrook. I mean, you have Talen Horton-Tucker, but I don't see the pieces that, like, somebody going to take Russ Westbrook? Why would somebody take Russ Westbrook? And this is the other element. Unless you move some of those big pieces, because this was the idea behind it. This is the reason why I didn't buy this. Well, we got Malik Monk and we got Kendrick Nunn and we got Talen Horton Tucker. We got all these young pieces that, you know, we're going to utilize those. We're going to work them into the mix, and they're going to provide the energy that these, what, 930 somethings may not have on a night in, night out basis. But here's the problem. If you're Frank Vogel and Russ Westbrook doesn't have it going on, can you really sit Russ Westbrook in the fourth quarter? Can you just leave him on the bench for the fourth quarter? Carmelo Anthony, same thing. Can you just – Dwight Howard's one thing. Carmelo Anthony, Russ Westbrook, that's a completely other thing. So that's the problem, is that along with having big names, you have to give them big minutes and big roles. Yes, I know Carmelo Anthony's coming off the bench, but you've got to get him a certain number of shots. You got to have him playing at least partially during crunch time. Same with Russ. Regardless of how they may be playing or the situation in the game where you go, we have a lead. Now, we haven't seen it that often, but say they have a lead. And they go, we just need to go, we need to play defense. We need to just put a defensive crew out there. And that would be a struggle with the roster that they have. But moving in that direction, you probably wouldn't play Russ. You wouldn't play Carmelo. But can Frank do that and then not have a problem, a chemistry issue, or grumbling in the locker room from some of his biggest personalities? That, to me, is what they face. And, we are hearing it, and it's kind of comical, right? We're already hearing it. So the Lakers are going to make some moves. They're going to be real active at the trade deadline. I'm like, how many times do you think you're going to try to, like, refigure this or remodel this thing and come out with something better, especially when you've already traded what looked like incredibly nice pieces now playing for the Washington Wizards? That's where they've run out of bullets in my estimation, in terms of trying to make this thing into something that LeBron James can drag to another championship.
Well, first off, Rick, congratulations. The reports of the new deal at Fox Sports and the wisdom as your expanded role there digitally and obviously television and joining us each week. So congratulations on continued dominance. We appreciate being part of the world and empire that you're building.
Well, thank you. You guys know that they basically said, hey, look, we need you for another 3 years with Jason and Mike. So how can we work something out? I mean, everything else was pretty much gravy. Those were the ancillary things.
Oh, good.
It was basically to make sure that I would be with you guys on a weekly basis. And I said, sign me up.
All right.
Well,
so
they
that
told
means
me
my
they
actually, paperwork's actually, showing up actually, soon, too.
Actually, what I said was, sign me up, yo.
And, they told me, they said, hey, that inside stuff he had on the Portland-Stanford women's game with you guys last week, we got to have more of that. That's what we need. I said, okay, let's do it.
You guys are so good that you indulge me on that. I do appreciate that.
That was fantastic stuff. Come on now. Rick, let's stay with the Lakers for one more. GMs and the feel. Anthony Davis, I think we're all kind of expecting the mantle's going to be passed. He's going to be the leader of this. You alluded to it a little bit earlier with his response to the game against the Knicks, but overall, that transition, passing the baton, how's that seen around the league in terms of, the ease of transition long term?
Nobody sees it happening, to be honest with you. They view AD as the perfect number two for LeBron if LeBron's capable of being a number one. But I'm not talking to anybody. And I only say that because at 37, it now has become a challenge for him to be all that he's been. I mean, if you watch mm-hmm. his game, people are defending him with bigs. He had Al Horford on him against the Celtics, and he couldn't take Al off the dribble. He has perfected his mid-range, that mid-range step back, which, I always thought he needed to have as part of his arsenal, is now... That and his three-point shooting have become the most effective parts of his arsenal. The problem is that doesn't create shots for anybody else. And if you, looking at the game at the end of the Knicks game, when they're trying to create threes, right? Down by nine, down by six, we need to hit a three. The idea is you put the hands in somebody who can dribble drive and force the defense to collapse. And now you're kicking it out to somebody for an open three, or kicking it out, swing, open three. That's how that's essentially how you create it. They didn't have anybody who could do that. Russ Westbrook couldn't do it. Carmelo Anthony couldn't do it. Anthony Davis couldn't do it, where he was moving in order to draw a double team and create that three. And that's the problem. They're still looking to LeBron James to be the playmaker and creator of everything. And we've just seen signs so far this season where he can do it at times, but he can't do it consistently. That's what Russ was supposed to be. And him not being that raises the question of who can.
Rick Bucher, our guest here, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. All right, so while the Lakers have their problems, it looks like the Warriors, who have no problems, are going to get good news. Klay Thompson's already back at practice. Now, look, obviously getting Klay Thompson back is going to be huge. You're also adding him back to a team that really has no problems right now. How do you see this going with Klay's return? Does this mean Jordan Poole's not going to get minutes? How do you see this going when he comes back?
Yeah, no, it's a fair question, and it is a good one, because we often think, well, you just add another great player to the mix, and that you're going to get twice as good. Well, somebody's going to have to give up shots, and to your point, and who's going to give them up? And somebody's going to have to give up minutes, and the rotations change. Now, I believe that because Klay is coming off of two major injuries, that they are going to spoon feed him minutes. They're going to be ultra cautious, as they should be, because while I'm as excited as anybody to see him play again, I hope he gets to some semblance of what he was. My greatest concern is that he doesn't have some sort of injury again. Because keep in mind, the Achilles was simply preparing for the season. It wasn't as if it was some collision. It was a non-contact injury. The knee was a non-contact injury, and he hasn't played for 2 years. And even playing in practice is nowhere near the same speed and intensity of playing in a regular season game. So I don't think it's a problem that they're going to have to deal with right off the bat, because I would imagine that we won't see him play more than 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes for at least 2-3 weeks before they start to expand that. Because it really is just a matter of getting him back and making sure that he's healthy at the end of the year. And if that's the case, then I think that they can manage it. The guy that's going to have a problem getting minutes is James Wiseman, because the Warriors have been so good playing small ball. Kevon Looney beat him out last year. Otto Porter has been getting minutes at that big spot. When they play Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala, and they have that whole, you know, the death lineup or some version of the death lineup once again, that's the guy that, to me, is kind of the odd man out. I don't know how he's going to work himself back into the equation. And that becomes then a tricky thing, because Wiseman is the number two pick. Does he become unhappy by the fact that I've worked my butt off to get back and there are not minutes for me with this team? That's another hurdle where a lot of people look at it and go, you're getting Wiseman and Klay Thompson back and they have the best record in the league. You know, they're going to skyrocket. Well, as you guys pointed out very, very astutely, like, you bring players back and guys that expect to be worked in, and it's a riddle, and you got to figure it out without upsetting what you've already created.
You can follow him on Twitter at Rick Bucher. That is at Rick Bucher. A drop the mic moment, because he said what we said was very astute.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do with that.
I
figured we had to keep it clean so Alex could cut and print that as a promo.
You guys sounded stunned. You can credit it on my new deal.
Very, very nice. Hey, the astute move by Fox Sports 1, the new deal for Rick Bucher. It is fantastic. Rick, congratulations. Look forward to talking next week. Have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks so much.
You got it, guys. Same.
Oh, wait. Before you leave, I got to tell you this. Yep. You think you're still there?
Yes.
Knicks, yo. All right, there you go. That's good. We're all good.
Bye, Rick.
See you, buddy.
What do you got? What do you got?
What do you got? What do you got?
Knicks, yo.
Okay. All right. Very good. There we go. Best friend, Mike Harmon. I mean, the AD stuff he has is just incredible. How all the other GMs see him as a guy who plays, and when he's motivated, he's great, but he's just kind of happy being who he is. And that's really the shame in his career, because he could be the best player in the game, bar none, but he's happy just playing at the level he is at right now. I mean, a great, great read by Rick. You check it out on his Twitter account, at Rick Bucher.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hey, buddy.
Looking ahead to the Thanksgiving holiday, we got big NFL games. Well, I mean, we got a couple. We also get the Bears and the Lions.
Yay. Hey.
We got
1 of 272, baby. Let's go. It's Andy Dalton.
We got Denny Doyle and Andy Dalton ready to go.
You leave Denny Doyle alone.
But some things I didn't think I'd say after week 11 that we kind of have to get into a little bit here. Number one is this. I just want to say this, Mike. I know your head's going to explode when I say this. But remember, in the offseason, I did predict the Colts were going to go to the AFC Championship game before I walked away from them before the season began. But in the beginning, I did pick them to go to the AFC Championship game. I did pick. Look.
Well, and I'll take that as an L. They're only 6-5 right now. So it's not like they're overwhelming. But even at 6-5, they've overachieved what I thought they were going to be.
Yeah, look, this is the team, after seeing them win in such a dominant fashion on Sunday against the Bills. Look, the Bills had the number one defense in the league, and I thought they would just shut down Jonathan Taylor Thomas, and boy, he was phenomenal. This was the Colts team that I thought we would see, because the Colts were loaded everywhere. They just needed a quarterback to come in and play a little bit better than Phillip Rivers.
Well, I don't know that they're loaded everywhere, but we can talk about that. That's semantics.
Team is fantastic. Their offensive line is really good.
Well, but the passing game, like, Wentz has been phenomenal, right? In terms of his touchdown to interception ratio, taking care of the football, and you've got Michael Pittman. The rest of that wide receiving core, you know, people on again, off again with T.Y. Hilton when he can stay healthy. But what else you got? It's all right now on that offensive line and the back of Jonathan Taylor, Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
I just love calling him Jonathan Taylor Thomas. But also, listen, you're talking about the guy who probably right now is the best running back in the NFL. So this has been a really big deal for them, you know, being able to say, okay, we've turned into this rushing team so far. You know,
who is the best running back in the NFL? And then you give out the call number and you go, with Derrick Henry sidelined, who is the top dog?
Let's tell you right here.
But you know what? We knew coming in, and then they were beset by injuries, some that, at least from the initial report at this point, they've got their front five getting it done. You know, I've done nothing but celebrate the person, the wall of mean that is Quentin Nelson. I mean, he's a bad man up there. And Jonathan Taylor is just playing on a whole other level. 5.8 yards per carry. He's already over 1,100 yards rushing, and then he's a weapon in the receiving game, and that's the part of the equation that is really his role expanding there has really changed this offense.
Yeah, when you look at the Colts, like, look, the rest of their team, their defense is good enough. It's much better now than it was in the beginning of the season. Much, much better, you know, the defense you thought we were going to see. This is the team I thought we were going to see. And right now, they're two games behind the Titans. I'm telling you, I think they wind up winning this problems. Now teams are figuring them out. Okay, no Derrick Henry. What do we do? And they're getting figured out.
Well, no, they're getting figured out. They just had won six in a row against former playoff teams from 2020.
They did win, but now without we're talking without the best running back in the NFL. It's going to take a couple of games for teams. Okay, how are they going to try to win again? Okay, now
it
we
won't
see
be
what
with Adrian Peterson. That's for sure.
Oh, nah, they just let him go
too soon.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? The Colts also have into their advantage down the stretch.
What's that, buddy?
A Week 14 bye. How about that?
If the Jets had a bye every week, they'd be okay. But they don't, which is unfortunate.
Let's go. Win or loss against the Buccaneers this week.
Another thing I didn't think I'd say after week 11, but I am proud to say, because I told you beginning of the season, one of my big predictions, Jalen Hurts was going to be a top five fantasy quarterback this year. Right now, he is the number one fantasy quarterback in the NFL. Most points. Now, he does have one more game than a couple of other guys do, but he has been clearly been a top five guy, and he is putting points on the board. And now, watch out for the Eagles. The Eagles have figured their team out. They're going to run the football. They got a really good rushing attack, and they figured out their identity. And now Jalen Hurts is showing that, okay, I can be the long-term answer here at quarterback. And, you know, look, not like the Eagles are going to jump ahead of the Cowboys, but they're sitting at five. Hey, why not us for the playoffs? They have really started playing well. They're getting it. There's good things going on in Philadelphia, man.
Well, as soon as Miles Sanders got hurt and suddenly Nick Sirianni decided to run the football. How do those two things equate? Hey, we had this guy. We kind of like him. But you know what? We'll save him for good. Oh, no. He got hurt. Now let's bring up Jordan Howard and a bunch of other guys and let them run the football. I'm confused. But it's worked. And certainly for Jalen Hurts, this was one that coming into the year, all the reports, and even he's been uneven at times over the course of the year. For fantasy purposes, absolutely. He's been dominant and thus far durable, and let's call it what it is. In 2021 NFL ease, that's the greatest asset you can have. Is he up, or does he have a red letter next to his name? Do I have to wait till game time? No, we haven't had to do that.
The Eagles are a team that if you can say who's on the upswing that you expect to make the playoffs that you wouldn't think a couple weeks ago, they're right there. Say, you know, look, 5-6, they're right there with the Vikings at 5-5, Saints 5-5. They have problems. Niners have problems. Eagles have the least problems of anybody. Watch out for Philadelphia.
Yeah, but the Saints just gave Taysom Hill more money.
To not make him their quarterback. No, we're not going to make you our quarterback.
He's better
now about a Fresca. Mike and Swollen Dome. Coming up next, we react to the biggest game of the night. Keep it right here. Jason and Mike, this is Fox Sports Radio.